We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 12, Verse 20, Vritasura's glorious death. Pavan atarshin mayam vai,
pavan atarshin mayam vai,
Vaishnavim janamahinim,
Vaishnavim janamahinim,
ya vihaya suram bhavam,
ya vihaya suram bhavam,
Mahapurushottam kataha.
Mahapurushottam kataha.
There's a mistake. It should be Vihaya Suram instead of Surim. On the third line, yeah, here it says AM.
Not I am. Vihaya Suram.
Okay, chant.
Vanatarsin
mayam vai. Vaishnavim Janamohinim. Yavihaya suram bhavam,
Mahapurushottam
gata,
Bhavan
atarsin mayam vai,
Vaishnavim
janamohinim,
Yavihaya suram bhavam,
Yavihaya suram bhavam, Mahapurushottam kataha. Ladies.
Bhavan atarshin mayam vai.
Vaishnavim janamohinim. Yadvihaya suram bhavam. Mahapurushottam kataha. Bhavan. Your good self, Atarshit, has surmounted
Mayam,
the illusory energy.
Vai,
indeed, Vaishnavim, of Lord Vishnu. Janamohinim, which deludes the mass of people. Yad, since. Vihaya, giving up. Asuram, of the demons. Bhavam, the mentality. Mahapurushottam, the position of an exalted devotee. Gataha, obtained. Translation. You have surmounted the illusory energy of Lord Vishnu. And because of this liberation, you have given up the demoniac mentality and have attained the position of an exalted devotee. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Lord Vishnu is the Mahapurusha. Therefore, one who becomes a Vaishnava attains the position of a Mahapurusha. This position was attained by Maharaj Parikshit. It is said in the Padma Purana that the distinction between a demigod and a demon is that a demigod is a devotee of Lord Vishnu, whereas a demon is just the opposite. Vishnu bhakta smito daiva asurasta viparyaya. Vritrasura was considered a demon, but actually he was more than qualified as a devotee, a mahapurusha. If one somehow becomes a devotee of the Supreme Lord, whatever his position, he can be brought to the position of a perfect person. This is possible if an unalloyed devotee tries to serve the Lord by delivering him in this way. Therefore, Shukadeva Goswami says in Srimad Bhagavatam 2.4.18, Kirata Horandra Pulinda Pukasa Abhira Shumbhaya Vana Kasariya Yenyetya Papa Yara Shriyam Itasamai Bhavishnave Namaha. Kiratas, Huns, Andras, Palindas, Pulkashas, Abhiras, Shumbhas, Yavanas, and members of the Khasa races, and even others addicted to sinful acts, can be purified by taking shelter of the devotees of the Lord. For He is the supreme power. I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto Him. Anyone can be purified if he takes shelter of a pure devotee and molds his character according to the pure devotee's direction. Then, even if one is a Kirat, Andhra, Pulinda, or whatever, he can be purified and elevated to the position of a Mahapurusha. Mukam karati vachalam pangam blankete girim yaki plantalam mande si gurum jinataminam om jnana tibranasya gyananja shavya chakshuramiritam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. So this verse gives great hope for all of us who are not born in a devotee family. We are born outside the Varnashram, most of us, if not all of us, because it is said in Kali Yuga there are three categories of people: Stri, women, Vaishyas, and Brahma Bandhus, friends of the Brahmins. Friends of the Brahmins mean they may be born in a Brahmin family, but they are not following the sanskaras, such as Garbhadha sanskaras. So therefore, they are called friends of the Brahmanas. So for these categories, there is still hope in Kali Yuga, because we can take shelter of the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada, the pure devotee who has come in the Western countries to deliver all of us. And that's what the purport said, that this is possible, so we can all go beyond this illusory energy and get liberation. How? If an unalloyed devotee tries to serve the Lord by delivering him, so that's us. So Prabhupada, he wanted to do that service of delivering us, and that's why we are all here today. If it weren't for Prabhupada going to the West, none of us would be here, and the deities would not be here. I think he personally brought these deities, if I'm not mistaken. He carried these deities of Radha Gopinath on the airplane and installed them. They were the first deities, I think, in Australia. So he came here, and he brought Krishna here personally, Radha and Krishna. And therefore we owe a great debt of gratitude to him. Bhagavad Gita, 7th chapter, verse 14, Daivi Heshi Gunamai, Mama Maya Dharatiya Ma, Evaye Pabadiyante, Mayam Itam, Tarantite. That this illusion, this illusory energy, is very, very difficult to overcome. We cannot fight it on our own. We cannot overcome this energy. But if we surrender to Krishna, then we can overcome it. And surrendering to Krishna means surrendering to his devotee, his pure devotee, who he has sent here to deliver us. So if we take shelter of the pure devotee, what can we expect? Well, what do we have to do? Here is what we have to do. Anyone can be purified if he takes shelter of a pure devotee. And first we have to take shelter, and second, molds his character according to the pure devotee's direction. So the pure devotee wants to mold us to become pure devotees also, to become devotees of Krishna, to become Krishna's friend, Krishna's wife or lover, Krishna's mother and father. That's how he is molding us. That is his direction. So we can become a great personality just by following the instructions of the pure devotee. There is a verse that Srila Prabhupada often quotes: Janmana jayate shudra, sanskarat bhaved dvija, vedapartat bhaved vipro, brahma jana titi brahmana. So, janmana jayate shudra, by birth everyone is born a shudra. Again, there's another verse, kalo shudra sambhava, in this age of Kali, everyone is born a shudra. Sanskarat bhaved dvija. But if you take the purificatory ceremonies, you may become twice born, dvija, twice born. Now, higher than that, Vedapata Bhavit Vipra. If you study the Vedas, you become Vipra, a learned scholar, learned Brahmana. And Brahma Janatiti Brahmana. If you know Brahman, then you are actually a Brahmana. And Brahman is Parabrahman, Sri Krishna. So that is the ultimate absolute truth. So sanskarat, the sanskaras, they were performed previously by the three higher classes, the kshatriyas, the vaishyas, and the shudras. They got the sacred thread, they became dvija. But it is not simply by birth. Srila Prabhupada tells a story from Jabala Upanishad, Satyakama Jabala. He was the son of a prostitute, and he went to Gautam Muni. He said, please make me your disciple. So Gautam said, so who is your father? What is your birth? And he said, I don't know who is my father. So he said, okay, go ask your mother. So he asked his mother, and she said, my dear son, I do not know who is your father, because she had so many men. So he came back and said to Gautam Muni, sir, my mother also does not know who is my father. So then Gautam Muni said, okay, you are a Brahmin, because you speak the truth. Nobody would like to say that to their guru. Of course, in the West, it's very much like that. So it doesn't... But in the old days, it wasn't like that. It was very rare. He was a rare... But now, of course, it's the standard almost. But he says, you're a Brahmin, because you're speaking the truth. Unless you're the son of a Brahmin, you can't speak such secret truth. So nobody will say, oh, I don't know who's my father. It's a scandal. Of course, now it's maybe not a scandal, because everybody is Varnasankara. But so he immediately accepted him as a Brahmana, because this is the first qualification. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said, Chaturvanya Mayashistam Guna Karma Vibhagashaha. So it is not janma, it is not birth, that you are a Brahmin. But it is guna. So who knows what guna means? What is the meaning of guna? Activities? Yes? Qualities. Yeah. Karma would be activities. Karma would be activities, and guna would be qualities. If you have the qualities of a Brahmin, then you can be considered a Brahmin. When I used to live in Goa, in India, I used to drive a moped because that's the way to get around. And so who used to fix my moped, he had a Brahmin thread. And he was covered with grease from head to foot. But people were saying, oh, Panditji. I said, what Panditji? He's servicing my moped, you know. So how they can say Panditji? But actually, yeah, so this is what's happening in India. But mostly they become IT now, because IT is the thing to do in India. All the countries, they are taking... The phone thing goes to India now. So actually, one of my godbrothers, he was, he tells his story that he saw the picture of Prabhupada, and he saw Prabhupada had a beautiful watch, and he thought, oh, I want to go steal that watch from this man. So he joined the temple because he wanted to steal Prabhupada's watch. And then he was saying, I want to see Prabhupada, I have to see him. And so finally he saw Prabhupada. But when he saw Prabhupada, his heart changed. And Prabhupada said, you want my watch? You can have it. And he said, no, I don't want. And later this Prabhupada said, I want you to go to the West and preach, this boy. And so then later on he had to make his passport, but he didn't know who his father was. So he couldn't fill up his passport, father's name. So he went to Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, why aren't you going? He said, well, I have a problem with my passport. I don't have my father's name. So Prabhupada said, give me that passport. And then he wrote A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, father's name. So that was Srila Prabhupada. In the same mood and spirit as Gautam Muni, he did the same for us. He was our real father. In my initiation letter, he said that your material father gives you the material birth, but now you have taken initiation, so you have taken shelter of your spiritual father. And he gave me 6 instructions in my letter of initiation. That in those days we would get initiated by mail, because Prabhupada would sometimes, we wouldn't see him for a year or two. So we got initiated by mail. In his letter, he said, you have to chant at least 16 rounds, strictly follow four regulative principles, do deity worship, do sankirtan, preach, read and study all my books, and 24 hours be engaged in Krishna service, and your path is open to go back to Godhead. So that was his instructions, and although we were born in a not very high family, Prabhupada, he did save us in that way, as long as we keep following him. So the Brahmana, here it says, Vidapatat Bhavam Vipro, that means if you study the Karma Kanda section of the Vedas, then you're a Vipra, that kind of Brahmin. And Prahlad Maharaj says, if a Brahmin has all 12 of the Brahminical qualifications, but is not a devotee and is averse to the lotus feet of the Lord, he is certainly lower than a devotee who is a dog eater, but who has dedicated everything, mind, words, activities, wealth, and life to the Supreme Lord. Such a devotee, he may be born in a low family, but he's better than a born Brahmin, because the devotee can purify his whole family, whereas the so-called Brahmin cannot purify even himself. So Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati says that if you are a pure devotee, an alloyed devotee, you can liberate 100 generations past in your family and 100 generations future. If you're a Madhyama, if you're a preacher, you can liberate 14 generations, past 14 generations ahead in the future. If you're just a neophyte, new devotee, you can liberate 3 generations, past and 3 generations before. So even if you're just beginning, you can liberate your family just by remaining in Krishna consciousness. So this is a very important point, that we don't know the power of devotional service, following the instructions of a pure devotee. So we have an example in Srimad Bhagavatam of somebody who didn't follow any of the rules and regulations, Shukadeva Goswami. As soon as he was born, he left home. He didn't follow any samskaras. He was beyond, actually. But as Shukadeva was beyond, we were also beyond in the West. And we didn't follow any of the samskaras, not in the same way. He was Paramahansa. And one time, Śrīla Prabhupāda was quoting Bhagavad Gita, Sarvadharma Paritaja, Mamekam Sharanam Vaja, that you give up all your religiosity and surrender to me. And Prabhupāda said to us, well, you've already done the first part. You've given up all religiosity. Now just surrender to Krishna. So for us, it wasn't a problem, because we didn't know who is Krishna, but we saw Prabhupada, we were impressed. And so it was easier to preach in America. He left India and came to... In India, they say, I know Bhagavad Gita. Why should I surrender to Krishna? Why not Durga? Why not Shiva? Why not hundreds of different others? They had many lists of who they should surrender, but we didn't know. We just said Krishna. That's all we knew from Prabhupada. So it was easy. Yeah, why not Krishna? So Prabhupada said so, and he's a saint, so let's follow him, surrender to Krishna. And I think Prabhupada did say when he left these deities here that now I'm leaving you here with the mlecha, so you have to take care of yourself, something like that, I don't know. But you have to take care of it. When he came back, he was so surprised how nicely they were taken care of by the persons born in the mlecha families. So Yogeshwara one time said to Srila Prabhupada, oh Prabhupada, he made a mistake. He said, Prabhupada, I must have fallen into Maya. Prabhupada said, well, you're always in Maya, but sometimes you fall into Krishna. So that's us. The Vedic system in different ages was very, very difficult. We cannot follow Satyuga meditation. The people, there was only one Varna. Everybody was Paramahamsa. So they had to do meditation for 60,000 years to get perfection. They lived 100,000 years. And they were self-satisfied, merciful, friendly to all, peaceful, sober, tolerant. They had good qualifications. They could concentrate. They didn't sleep. Now, these yoga groups, before I was a devotee, I tried to follow one meditation. They gave you a mantra. You had to pay for it, of course. And then you meditated. And I went to one class where they meditated, and most of them were falling asleep. I said, I wonder if this is the goal. You're supposed to fall asleep while you meditate. I think I might have even asked the question, are you supposed to fall asleep? Because you hear people snoring, you know, during the meditation. So so we cannot do it in Kali Yuga. If we don't fall asleep, our mind will go somewhere else. Even Arjuna couldn't do it. He said, I cannot follow this Ashtanga Yoga path. So by chanting Hare Krishna, this is included. We do meditate on the holy name. Srila Prabhupada said that as far as pranayama is considered, chanting of the holy name and dancing are also considered pranayama. So every day we do pranayama when we chant Hare Krishna. That was for Satya Yuga and Treta Yuga. Sacrifice was the recommended Yuga Dharma. People were qualified. They had two qualifications, Dharmanishta and Brahmavadina, that they were thoroughly religious and expert followers of the Vedas. So we cannot do that now. It requires tons of ghee. You cannot afford ghee, I think, here. It's very expensive. Tons of gold. And now gold is getting scarce, I hear. Rumors are that America's gold is finished. So let's see. And also you needed Brahmins to chant the mantras perfectly. You make one mistake and you'll be in trouble. So yagya, our sacrifices, sankirtan, harinam. That was Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, deity worship. Of course, we are doing deity worship. But along with deity worship, you have to chant the holy name. So in the people in Dwapara Yuga, they had one good quality. They wanted to know the absolute truth. They were jigasava. But in this Kali Yuga, hardly anybody wants to know the truth. In fact, they'd rather cover the truth, because the truth is dangerous. If the truth comes out, then everybody might go in jail, you know, in this Kali Yuga. So deity worship can be performed to some extent, but to be successful, it must be connected with the chanting of the holy names. So what to do in this age of Kali? Lord Chaitanya gave us the Yuga Dharma of chanting the holy names. So one time Prabhupada was conversing with a professor in Paris, 1973. He told the professor, and this was a Western professor, he said, we are creating brahmanas in the Western countries. So the professor said, don't you think that is against the Dharma Shastras? Dharma Shastras means the Vedic religion. Prabhupada said, no. The symptoms of a Brahman are found in a Shuddha. He should be accepted as a Brahman. Everyone is sleeping. They consider himself the body. So we are raising them to spiritual consciousness. We're saying, you are not like cats and dogs. You are Brahman. You are soul. Even in Lord Chaitanya's time, there was trouble. The Brahmanas complained to the Muslim magistrate that, you know, these people, they're waking up the Lord. Now it's the time for him to sleep, Chaturmasya, and they're chanting very loudly. So what, you should do something. And they also complained that if everyone hears the chanting, then the chanting, the potency will be lost. So what a crazy idea. So that's how they were thinking. But Lord Chaitanya said, you have to chant 24 hours a day. But they think instead of delivering the fallen souls, the holy name becomes impotent when constantly chanted by lower class people. So that was the complaint by the brahmanas in Lord Chaitanya's time. When we were in India, we had complaints also. They were saying that these are not devotees. These are CIA agents from America. It didn't matter what country you were from. You were CIA from America. And there to destroy India. But actually, eventually they figured out that we weren't CIA, and no CIA could follow the four regulative principles anyway. So, in fact, in America, they were coming to check us out, the FBI, and they were trying to draft all the young people to go fight in Vietnam in our time, all the hippies. And so they checked out that we were getting religious exemption. So they went to check the temple, and they said, oh, this is worse than going to war. No meat eating, no sex, no smoking, no drinking. This is worse than going to Vietnam. So they let the devotees stay. They said, you're getting enough punishment here. So Lord Chaitanya, he had a purpose to vanquish the false pride of the so-called renunciates and learned scholars. Chaitanya Charitamrita says he spreads religious principles even through a Shudra. He himself preached devotional service by making Ramananda Roy a grihastha. Born in a low family, the speaker and Lord Chaitanya became the listener. Ramananda Roy was speaking the absolute truth. Even though he was born in a low family, Lord Chaitanya was hearing, although he was born in the greatest Ramana family. So he showed the glories of the holy name through Haridas Thakur, who was born in a Muslim family. And so people will complain, and they complained. And he showed the essence of devotional service through Sanatana Goswami, who had also been converted almost to Muslim, and Rupa Goswami. So Chaitanya Charitamrita says the activities of Lord Chaitanya are like an ocean of nectar. Even a drop can inundate all the three worlds. So Prabhupada said a very beautiful thing, that now the same mercy is overflooding the entire world through the Krishna conscious movement, which is not different from the pastimes performed by Lord Chaitanya when he was personally present. For the same principles are being followed and the same actions performed without fail. And you get a lot of examples, I'm sure, on book distribution or on Harinam, where people, they become very attracted and they buy a book or they want to chant Hare Krishna. And so this is, we are actually instruments in this wonderful movement of Lord Chaitanya. So how to advance in spiritual life? Chanting Hare Krishna dissolves the subtle body. So the Brahmanas, they complain that unless you change your body, you can't be accepted as Brahman. You have to be born in a Brahman family. Because your body you have now is a result of your past karma, your past actions. So in the past, if you acted as a Brahman, you'll get birth in a Brahman family. So that's their argument. So they say without a Brahminical body, you can't be accepted as Brahman. But Srila Prabhupada said, one is freed immediately if he utters the holy name of Krishna, even once. And that's a verse, Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 1st chapter, verse 35. One, my dear king, a devotee who has taken shelter of the dust from the lotus feet of the Lord can transcend the influence of the six material whips, hunger, thirst, limitation, illusion, old age, and death. So this is the Lucy energy. He can conquer the mind and five senses. However, this is not very wonderful for a pure devotee, because even a person beyond the jurisdiction of the four castes and untouchable is immediately relieved of bondage to material existence if he utters the holy name of the Lord even once. So there was somebody I saw on Facebook, some devotee, he's going out and he's trying to get all the people to just say Hare Krishna once. That's his service. He just tries to flatter them, or he says if they won't chant, he'll say, you know, but it's my job. If you don't do it, then you know what can I tell my boss? Please chant one time Hare Krishna. And then he embraces them and said, oh, thank you so much. And they feel like they're long lost friends, and so they really like that. So there's a verse from Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami. Yata kanchanatam yati kangsyam rasavitanata tata dikshavitanena dvijatam jayate ninam. When a person is initiated by a pure devotee into chanting the holy name, his body changes. Just like bell metal is turned into gold. So Prabhupada said, at initiation, your subtle body changes. When you chant Hare Krishna, your subtle body is changing. Although one cannot see how your body has changed, we must accept on the grounds of authoritative statements of the Shastra, he changes his body. So this answers the argument of the Brahmins. Actually, we are changing our body. Our subtle body is changing, and subtle body will make our next body in our next life, according to Bhagavad Gita. So this body is a symbolic representation of material bondage, according to our karma. And we can't see it changing. We can't see our ghost body. But when we chant, our subtle body changes and we get liberation. Shuddha Kirti was telling, once in L.A., Prabhupada said, if it were not for the chanting of the Maha Mantra, you boys and girls could not do anything. In the West, you've used so many drugs, you cannot accomplish anything. Chanting Hare Krishna has enabled you to get all these temples and devotees. So it's simply Krishna's mercy and the chanting, Prabhupada said. Well, that's why we have these temples, that we could not accomplish anything, that's a fact. But by the chanting, we did everything. Now, one of my godbrothers, Bhagavati, asked Prabhupada, you know, I'm confused, because throughout your books and your lectures, you say, when you become a devotee, you're on the transcendental platform. But at the same time, you talk about being affected by the modes of material nature. Although I'm a devotee, I'm practicing the principles and experiencing a certain amount of transcendental pleasure. At the same time, I feel affected by the modes of material nature. So we might have that feeling. How is it I can be on the transcendental platform and still be affected by the modes of material nature? So Prabhupada answered, it's just like being on a boat. Have all of you been on a boat here? Did you go on the cruise? I think you have a cruise over here. So even if you haven't been, if you went on the cruise. So, okay, when you're on the boat, imagine you're on the boat. No one can say you're not on the boat. You're on the boat, but sometimes big waves will come and rock the boat, so your position on the boat may not be steady. So these waves are the modes of material nature, and the boat is the transcendental platform. So we're on the boat. We're on the spiritual level. Sometimes the waves come and knock us over, but we're still on the boat. So the position, our position may not be steady. So how can you become steady? Then you have to learn from the captain of the boat, the spiritual master, how to steer the boat through the greatest storm. If you learn expertly, then you'll be steady. If you learn how to steer the boat of transcendence through the ocean of material life, then you'll become steady even in the greatest storm of the modes of material nature. And our seminar will be on this, how to get steadiness in devotional service from Shada to Nishta, basically, and a little bit of Ruchi. So we must take shelter of Srila Prabhupada. He's the captain of our boat, and he's taking us across the ocean of this material existence. And this verse, the purport Prabhupada quotes, if you take shelter of a devotee of Krishna, then you'll become purified, Shudyanti. So people may criticize, oh, he's born in a low family. How can he become purified? Prabhupada said, yes, the devotee can do this. Krishna can do this. You take shelter of the devotee. Even Krishna cannot deliver you as nicely as a devotee can deliver you, because sometimes Krishna, he promises things, but sometimes he doesn't follow his promise. But the devotee, if the devotee promises something, then sure, it has to happen. So if the devotee's word, if you take shelter, if the devotee says, you will go back to Godhead, you will go. And if you take shelter, you will see Krishna. And we are seeing Krishna every day. That is Krishna's special power. And Prabhupada said a beautiful sentence. He can be seen even by Kirata, Bhuna, Andhra. And he cannot be seen even by the most purified Brahman. And so this is very important. I read a letter in the letters from Srila Prabhupada to Govindadasi. In the early days, we had no tulsi plants. Tulsi doesn't grow, I think, in Australia. I'm not sure. I mean, you don't find it the wild here. Or maybe you do. Oh, that's nice if you do. But generally, you don't find it wild here. So when we were in America, we didn't have tulsi, and we would have to write to Govindadasi. She got the seeds. She grew these tulsis in Hawaii. And she sent seeds all over the world to the temples. Of course, the world that time was America. All we had when I joined was America. There was no other temples anywhere, except Canada, maybe. I think there were a few in Canada. So she sent these seeds all over. And Srila Prabhupada said, yes, you will, just like we sing in the Tulsi Arati, that let me be a servant. So he said, yes, you will be a servant, a Manjari servant of Krishna, because you are sending Tulsi all over to all the temples. So that is the power of the pure devotee. He can make us go back to Godhead just by his words. And it was his desire when he landed in America. He looked at all of us, the Western people, and he said, hopeless people, this passion and ignorance, how will they be delivered? But he had the desire. He said, Krishna, if you desire, they will be delivered. If they hear the message of Bhagavatam, and the message will be the same verses Prabhupada quoted, we will be speaking on the next 3 days. The Canto 1, Chapter 2, verses 16 to 21. Those are the verses that Prabhupada said will have the potency to change the heart of the people of the world. Okay, so we will stop here. And if anybody has any questions, you can ask questions now. Yes? Yeah. If they try to chant the Vedic mantras, if they don't know how to properly pronounce something, okay. Just it happened. You can see an example in Bhagavatam that Manu had some. The one who got the father of Ritrasura, I believe, they chanted the mantra wrong. He wanted to have somebody to kill Indra. Instead, he got somebody who Indra will kill. That's an example. Of chanting just one syllable wrong, he got. And instead of getting someone to kill Indra, he got someone that will be killed by Indra, Vritrasura. So there's an example. If they make one mistake, it changes the whole outcome of the sacrifice. So they used to have like brahmanas referees that would check the mistakes. If anybody made a mistake pronunciation, then he would correct it. Yes. Right, you have your family, they do puja.
So not Grihat Puja or, those nine planets that they worship.
Right.
Things like that.
Right. So in India you have these types of brahmanas.
These type of brahmanas. So does it mean that, we are doing some harm to ourselves by doing such pujas?
Well, there may not be any harm, but there may not be any benefit either.
Okay.
they're not able to do it, so... Better. It's good if you chant Hare Krishna along with it. That's what happened in the installation of Krishna Balaram temple, that we had all the brahmanas for the installation, but Prabhupada had 24-hour kirtan going on at the same time. And he said the real installation is 24-hour kirtan. So that's the real. If we didn't invite the brahmanas, then they wouldn't accept our temple as bona fide. So we had to invite from South India, from Vrindavan. We had them do the big yajna. And our devotees were also participating in the yajna. And one of the godbrothers, Prabhupada's godbrothers, were there, and one was complaining to Prabhupada, "Oh, they're doing it all wrong." He was telling about our devotees, the Westerners. Prabhupada said, "That's all right, they're just practicing." So if the holy name is there, then it will be okay. It's a very difficult age. You read Bhagavad Gita, what is religion in the mode of what is dharma in the mode of ignorance? They think right is wrong and wrong is right. The religion, they do the opposite of religion and call it religion. And what is real religion, they say this is bad, this is irreligion. If you become a devotee, you're irreligious. I mean, it's in our time. Because this four regulative principles, that was the only way to enjoy life, according to them. And so it's a crime. They thought it was a crime to take their children away from that. I think someone just told me recently, I don't know, I don't remember. But in India, because you're in the West, you can follow these things. Indians who go to the West, they can follow. But if they were in India, their parents wouldn't allow them to be devotees. Because, isn't it? Yeah, many Indians in the West tell me that because we're here, we can follow this. But if we were somebody tells me that, yes, we go home to our parents, they live in Chennai, and they don't allow us to go to ISKCON, because they're Brahmin family. And they said, you have to go to Shiva, Durga, these temples. This is the real religion. Why do you want to go to ISKCON? And then they can't go. And go to Krishna temple. Krishna temple is not part of the Brahmin scene in their place anyway. They have to worship Shiva or Durga or all these demigods. And Krishna wasn't there, Maybe he's a little bit on the side somewhere, but he wasn't even mentioned. this is somebody born in Brahmin family told me this, that they cannot practice in the West, in India, sorry. Cannot practice Krishna consciousness in India. And if, when somebody... Yeah, somebody else told me that Yeah, they became devotee. Parents are very upset. And they said, and then he said, but when I was taking drugs and drinking, you didn't say any, you didn't complain. And now you're complaining that I stopped these things. Now you're complaining why you want to renounce everything, drinking. It's so upside down. It's really upside down. Because I live in India 41 years now, since 72. So I can see, and it's really becoming very degraded now. You would be shocked if I told you. Vrindavan, even in Vrindavan. So yes, this is because they're leaving their culture. They're leaving their real culture. Any other questions? Yes, Soma. Somendra? Prabhu.
Mataji, one of the things that you mentioned that when someone becomes a devotee, so like based on their level, their ancestors got liberated.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, for the
Shri Bhakti Siddhanta,
So, what is that liberation? Is that liberation to go back, like get out from the material world, go back to Krishna, or to go to some higher planet? What kind of liberation?
Good question. So, when we say that we will, by performing devotional service, we will liberate our family, what kind of liberation? That question was asked to Srila Prabhupada. What kind of liberation does our family... Two questions are asked. Is it our immediate family or is it extended family? And he said, yes, uncles, aunts, cousins, everybody. Extended family. And second question was, what liberation? And Prabhupada's answer is, they will become devotees. That is their liberation. Not that they just get, sent back, but they may get just sent back too. It can happen in some cases. They will become devotees and then they will have to also liberate others and do their own work in devotional service. Yes, and you had a question? Same one? Oh, okay.
And also had an addition you were mentioning. I just wanted to get that.
Okay, Hare Krishna. Yeah, three generations going to Shri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, neophyte devotees. Uttama 100 and Madhyama 14. Prabhupada told us, I believe, told one devotee 21. So Prabhupada's more merciful. But okay, the word has to be upheld, when we go to and when we leave our body, we can see, okay, Prabhupada's at 21. So he's giving a lot of concessions to us. Okay, any other questions?
Illusionary energy. So could you tell me what is the illusionary energy of this Lord Vishnu?
Okay, what is the illusory energy of Lord Vishnu? Very good question. It is called Maya. Maya. Maya, one definition of Maya is my and ya, what is not. What is not. So illusion means that you're mistaking something for something else. That's illusion. So what is the illusion of this material world? Before I tell you, you tell me, what is the illusion? What is the illusion? Why do we say it's illusion?
Illusion means which is not a tangible one, experience it.
Okay, but it's not tangible, I cannot experience it, that's illusion.
Yeah.
Yes, my son now lives in LA and Hollywood is there. And if you go to visit Hollywood, they have a big sign, welcome to the land of illusion. So yes, there should be a sign when you come in this world. Welcome to the land of illusion. Okay, so that's good. What else can we say is illusion? What is this illusion? Fantasy? Okay, what else? Well, what is the fantasy?
I'm dreaming something.
Yeah, no, that I know. I know the definition of fantasy, but what is the fantasy? Yes?
That we are the enjoyers.
Okay, very good. That we are the enjoyers, that's the first thing. That's first illusion, I am the enjoyer. And the other illusion is that this world is enjoyable. That I can enjoy. That's the biggest illusion is there is happiness in material enjoyment. I mean, permanent happiness, tangible happiness. Prabhupada gives, and not Prabhupada, even Srimad Bhagavatam, the example is a mirage in the desert. The happiness in this world is like a mirage in the desert. You know what is a mirage?
Yeah.
It's like, you see in front of you a beautiful thing, like water, like trees, grass, and you're in the desert. And you go towards it, and what happens? It keeps going. It keeps going. Like, so that's the happiness. People see on the TV or whatever, in the movies, happiness. And they go for it, but it keeps going ahead. Even if you get it, you don't experience any happiness. You don't experience it. So this is illusion. What is not is that people are thinking there is happiness. I can enjoy. And why is there no happiness? Because they're trying to enjoy through something which they are not. They are not the body. They're trying to enjoy through the body. There is happiness, but it's not here. It's in the spiritual world. Happiness, we're meant to be. We're anandamaya vyasa. We're meant to be happy. But we can't experience it here. There's obstacles, birth, death, disease, and old age. And that's why we're not satisfied. Because it's against our nature to die, to be old, to get sick. It's against our nature. We are eternal spiritual beings. We're meant to enjoy eternal happiness full of knowledge. So that's why the illusion is spiritual beings can enjoy in the material world, can be happy in the material world, like a fish out of water. We can't be happy. That's the illusion. That's the illusion, is we can be something we're not. We're not this body. We're not this identity. And we're trying to be happy with our mistaken identity. We're trying to enjoy with our mistaken identity things that are not enjoyable. Yeah. Okay, any other questions? So to get out of that, that's liberation. If you realize, oh, no, here's the real enjoyment. Not that we're not like the Ashtanga yogis, cut off our mind and cut off our senses. Okay, this world is not enjoyable, so cut, no. We use them in the service of Krishna, and then we enjoy spiritual happiness through our senses, through our mind, through everything. We can enjoy if we offer everything to Krishna. If we take, and that's another seminar in Levin's Canto, Uddhava Gita, the first three chapters, Krishna teaches Uddhava the story of an avadhut brahmana who was teaching Yadu, and he was saying, when we look at the world, we should not see objects for sense gratification. We should see shiksha gurus. The earth is our guru, the tree, the mountain, the air, fire. These are our gurus. We can learn from them, but we cannot exploit them. They're our gurus. And then you learn lessons from 24 gurus. I think we did that seminar last year.
Last year.
Yeah, right, okay. This year will be about faith and Anartya Nivritti, going beyond the subtle obstacles, the spiritual path, more of the spiritual path. Yeah, that last year was more about renunciation. This year will be about more close to the spiritual path, what we go through when we're trying to be devotees, the different levels that we go through. Any other questions or comments? Jai, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.